everyone, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss, and...
I'm Theo Vaughn, the co-host.
And today we have a very special, awesome guest, very talented in many fields, Mr. Praz, who has...
Praz Michel.
From the Fugees, but also has a new film out, a documentary called Sweet Mickey for President that Theo and I both saw, and we both loved. But we've learned something more important before we get into that, and that is that Praz is a closeted Road Rules Real World Challenge fan.
Yeah, Praz comes in and he's like, I think I know you from somewhere.
You know what? I know you now.
Yeah.
I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny,
yeah,
man.
As a matter of fact, as time elapsed, I'm going to remember which one of the challenges. I think you got into a beef with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got into beef.
I did.
Yeah.
I got into beef with Alton one time. Alton was a black guy from Las Vegas.
Yes.
I was a little scared too, but I tried to hold my own.
You know what? You was respectable. You know, you had some people on that show that was straight up asshole.
Yeah.
But you know, you played it kind of like clean as much as you could. You know,
I tried.
Yeah.
What was it?
And I think that's what probably kind of like hindered you a little, because you was naturally a good guy.
Right.
Because you have some people on there that was just playing both sides. They were doing like sneaky things, you know.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
You know your stuff.
That's wild.
I used to DVR this thing, man.
And he said it's one of the only shows that he watched. He said otherwise he's a sports
guy.
No,
I only watch sport. I mean, I only watch football, to be honest with you, but I never watch TV except for that.
Last question on this is, I hit an age when I felt like I was too old to watch these things, because these are like 18, 19-year-old kids. Right. Is that why you stopped watching?
You know, the thing is, I watch it for different reasons. What I watch it for, I always like to put myself in situations where, like, or like to imagine, what would I do if it was me?
Right.
Because I'm looking at it like, these guys on the show could take advantage of the situation, because it's real life, right? So you're playing these challenges, although it's a game, but it's a game of life. Sometimes you got to make friends as you're going down your journey. Sometimes you might be friend with somebody you don't like.
Right.
I'm looking at all these different mistakes they making, and it's just fascinating to me that they don't get what it is.
Would you go on Survivor or Big Brother or something
like
that?
I feel
like
now
that?
You would be really great at one of those.
I think you'd be a great player at one of those.
I've never seen Survivor, but I'm sure I would, you know.
It's something like that, you know, but you're on an island and you have to outsmart and outplay. So, Sweet Mickey for President.
Yes, sir.
Praz for Survivor. That's my new hashtag.
I like it.
Before we get into our interview, we're going to do round one,
okay,
which is where Theo and I each get to tell a story about something that's happened to us in the past, mm-hmm, and you get to be our judge and tell us which one you like better based on whatever criteria you want.
And you can ask any questions throughout if you want, or we can chime in. We can all chime in each other's stories. I am going to let Matthew go first.
Okay. 5 minutes on the clock, Andrew, please. All right, so I'm going to tell a story that involves filmmaking, because before, you know, I started this podcast, I worked as a director and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Matt's had some great films with James Franco, Amy
Adams.
Yeah,
I directed a movie with Amy Adams for the Weinstein Company.
Wow.
And so I was attached to direct another movie that Madonna's company was producing, which,
Maverick,
for a gay man, is like God speaking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gay.
It's like seeing Santa at the mall.
Yeah, it was the best. So anyway, I was attached to this movie, which was fantastic.
By the way, Madonna gave me my first movie deal. But go ahead.
What?
Wow, wait, no, really?
What? You can't just let that slip.
We'll get back to it.
Okay, I want to hear everything Madonna. I was attached to this movie, and we actually cast this kid, Jamie Bell, from Billy Elliot, who's fantastic, this young, great actor. We get a call from the studio that they want someone a little more... present in the CW type world.
Okay.
So they make me meet with this other actor, who we'll just call Douchebag for now.
Okay.
So I go and meet with this actor, and this actor does it right. He takes me out on the town. I was like young. I've never really been out. He took me to Bardot, the club above Avalon. We had all these, you know, open, you know, all the drinks and anything I drink. He did perfectly charm me, because I was drunk and I was having a great time. We go back to his house, and there's, we'll call her Pop Star.
Okay.
She's there. And they decide to show my movie. They're literally stroking my ego, showing my movie, and just like,
and you're,
oh my God,
it.
This guy's the best. This guy's right. The best, you know. And then, you know, he's offering me stuff, you know, and whatnot. And I was like, this is like a Hollywood night. I can't believe this is really happening. Actually, at one point, I walked in on him when I went to the bathroom, and he had said,
Pop Star were drugging up.
They weren't drugging up. They were doing something else.
Sexuality?
They were sexuality. Yeah. Yes,
okay.
They were doing that.
Getting a little tender.
Anyway, so it worked.
Now, he didn't know you gay, though.
He didn't know I was gay.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He probably... Well...
I figured that.
You might have guessed.
He didn't know I was coming in to walk in, but he didn't kick me out either. But I, and it was very awkward because I was like, just looking for the bathroom.
And it was just you three?
Yeah, it was just three. And he's banging this pop star. And I was just like, hey, okay. Anyway,
is
so.
Is this a real pop star?
This is a real pop star. Well, at the time, she was pop star adjacent.
Hmm.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
She then became a pop star on her own right.
Adjacent meaning like she was connected to something.
Yes.
Who was
yes.
a pop star? It was
who
probably was, Jessica Simpson.
Who was a pop star.
No, Jessica wasn't adjacent.
So,
yeah, you're right.
If anything, Nick Lachey was
adjacent.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark, though. Anyway.
Oh, wow. I don't want to blast anyone. So yeah,
we're,
not, yeah.
we're playing a game. This just turned into like... What's my line?
I like where you're going with this.
Anyway, so this is true Hollywood story. Right. So he sent his car, you know, whatever, takes me back. He totally wooed me. So that the next day, I was like, I'm on board. Let's have this guy, even though he's a horrible actor. I'm like, I'm on board. We kick poor Jamie Bell off the movie. And I'm like, whatever. This is what's going to get the movie done. And this guy completely wooed me. So we call him and we say, congrats, you got the movie. Next day, we get a call saying he's on board. He's going to do it. But he wants to kick you off as director.
No way.
True story. That's why this guy is douchebag. He got the movie, and not only that, but the production company, everything, they booted me off. They stuck by him.
Wow.
After I worked on it for a year. Yep.
That's dark.
So douchebag and I don't speak much anymore, but that is a Hollywood story.
But you know what? A director's never really completely dead. Even though people say there's that term director's jail.
Yes.
But you're never really completely dead.
Agreed, 100%.
Because it takes one small film, boom.
Changes everything
changes
in a dime.
Everything, yeah.
Completely.
I like this.
Yeah, this guy. I like it.
It's
all right.
Inspiring.
So huh? That's my story. Go ahead, Theo.
All right, so...
Theo!
Yeah.
Yo! Praz just realized that now. His name is Theo.
Yeah, that's my name.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. I'm having a moment. Sorry, I'm having a moment right now.
That's okay. I'm gonna find some old challenge pictures and bring them up for you, man. So I actually I'll go back since Praz is a closet Real World Road Rules fan. I'm gonna go back to a story from those times. My time going, Andrew? Okay, good. So at those times, they used to take kids from these shows or young adults, and they would put them on tour buses to go around the country to party at night to different colleges, right?
Who's they?
Some
the production company.
Like MTV? Yeah.
No, but it was a private production company that put this on. So it was just separate from MTV, private, and they would just send you like on a bus. And
you guys get paid for that?
Yeah, you get $500 cash a night, right? Which was great.
That's great when you're a kid.
Yeah, no, yeah, no college. Yeah, you didn't
and
even have
having fun at the same time.
Yeah.
So you would like literally, you know, a lot of times you bring chicks back on the bus and they'd wake up in another city because the bus would drive at night, you know? So you'd meet a girl like in New York and then she wakes up out in White Plains, you know? And she's like, what's going on out here? How do I get home? And you're like, we didn't think about that part, you know?
That's up to you. That's your problem.
So, well, one time I'm in New York. And I was partying. They had a guy named from Real World. He was like a Real World guy, right? But anyway, so we're out one night, and he's like, "Hey, dog, you want to party, bro?" And I'm like, "I'm partied out, man. I'm exhausted, man." So I was like, he's like, "I'm gonna go get some drugs." And I was like, "All right, man. Well, just call me when you get back with it. Wake me up when you get back with the drugs, right?" So I'm sleeping on this tour bus, right? So next thing you know, like 3 hours later, he shows up with this little gal from New Jersey, and he's like, "You ready to party, bro?" And I'm like, "Well, let's see what's up." And he broke out some steroids, right? Like anabolic steroids, right?
That people take steroids
as like a recreational drug?
I never had, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought
that's something you take when you're working out.
It is.
Okay. I don't know. I've never done drugs, so I'm not.
Me neither. Really. That does not sound like something you take for a good time.
Right.
Especially not at like 4 a.m., right? So I'm like, I don't think I want to be involved in this, right? So anyway, this guy, one of the other cast members, and this girl ended up just like injecting these anabolic steroids and then ended up like thugging it out in the back of the bus, man, right?
Wow.
So that's my first. Now, that's in New York. And then the next night we were in New Jersey, okay? And so a place called Clifton, New Jersey, which is
Clifton.
It seemed like early Jersey Shore, like those types of people, like beating up the beat.
Hillbillies type of a hit.
Yeah, like tanned hillbillies, kind of like like aggressive Italians, you know?
Right.
And so I ended up going home with some gal who's like, "Oh, we can go back to my house, right?" Well, her house was like 40 minutes away into New Jersey, right? So we go down in this basement, and we ended up making out in this little bed, and then and the basement was like an L shape, right? So in the morning, I wake up in the basement, dude, and she's not there, and I'm in this bed in the L shape, and in one corner was a hair salon, right? Like, I guess her aunt or something did hair.
Oh, wow.
And in the other corner was a Bible study going on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm totally serious, bro.
So, no.
So I woke up, right?
And where's she? She just left you there?
I was about to ask you, where is she?
She's gone, bro. She's upstairs in the house. Right? Oh, okay. I guess she just was like, this guy
let him sleep in. That's
nice.
Right?
Well, that's nice of her.
So, yeah, anyway, so. I mean, I joined in the Bible study for about a half hour, you know, because I felt a little bit compelled, but I mean, it was
wait,
like.
So, wait, you say a Bible story was actually happening?
Bible study,
when,
yeah.
I mean, Bible study was happening while you got up?
Right when I woke up, yeah.
Wow. Like, there wasn't anyone in the hair salon.
Yeah, there was two ladies in the hair salon, and there was, like, the aunt, like, doing, one of them was in that thing.
Oh, yeah, and, like, the drying machine
dryer,
or whatever.
Dryer. It's called a dryer.
Yeah, and the other one was just talking.
You didn't get your hair done, though?
No, I thought about getting maybe, like, a fade and some faith, you know, but I just got the faith. That was it.
Just got the faith. Wow.
Anyway, so that was my first night ever in New Jersey, and I know you're from that area, so that's why I brought that up.
Okay. Interesting story. All right, Praz. Two different types of stories.
Yeah, two different types. You know, I like both of them. Yours, I feel like... The reason I like his is
because... Oh, come on.
Yeah. Keep going. We connect us to that.
He's pointing at Matt.
No, but it's very interesting because Hollywood is such a small town, right? And it's like you never, ever know. So that kid who did what he did, he never know one day the way the universe works, he going to need something from him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? And now your story is cool, but I was waiting to hear something like crazy. You
right.
Know, something like you woke up and this big 400-pound dude was like standing, I don't know, something crazy.
Was injecting steroids into your ass? Right.
You almost had me with the steroid because I was like, oh, he's about to go somewhere
yeah,
with the steroid.
Yeah, kind of
like,
went that way.
Because right. You know, like, for example, I had a friend of mine who decided that he's going for the first time take what's that thing called
HGH?
No, the thing that you use for older men when they need to have
Viagra.
Yeah, Viagra. Yeah. And he
is this a friend?
No, listen, dude. Let me tell you something.
Just kidding.
I've never drank, smoked, done anything my whole entire life. I don't even drink. Like honestly. I only drink certain type of water. Like
really?
Fiji. No, seriously. Like I'm one of those really health fanatic dudes.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I don't eat grill. I don't eat fry. It has to be pan sear. That's why I only go to certain restaurants because I know certain restaurants is going to pan sear my like fish or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I'm really like that guy.
Oh. Okay.
But I had a friend of mine who decided like he just wanted to experiment. So this is when Viagra first came out.
Yeah.
So he took like he figured like. You know when you first hear something, you hear the story like, yeah, you know, I was fucking all night. You know, so people thinking like, oh, if you take it, you stay hard all night, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this dude OD on it. Not OD literally, but like when it took like maybe 4 or 5 more
ooh.
Than he should have. Yo, he was erect for literally about 15 hours.
Oh.
And it was just like the craziest thing. Like he had to go explain to his mom because his mom was a nurse.
Oh,
like because he was embarrassed, so he
right.
didn't know where else.
What
to
do
go.
You do?
He didn't want to go to the, you know, the yeah. doctor. Was. And he told his mom what happened. The mom was like, "Well, son, you know, most people take like a half of that.
Yeah.
You know, you took 5.
Yeah,
wow.
I never knew anybody.
So when you say steroid, I thought it was going to be like something,
maybe something like
something,
that.
Something
no,
like.
But yeah. I'm sure. Have you taken Viagra before?
Yeah, I've taken
yeah.
Cialis.
Oh, Cialis. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Cialis, what is that?
Cialis is just like a similar.
I see commercials for that. What is that?
Yeah, Cialis, I think, is for more like love. Like Viagra is just for like immediate sex, I think. Cialis is more like,
so,
yeah.
So it's like X?
No. It's not like ecstasy. It's like, it's just like, it's for more like if you're going to maybe go over like for the weekend, like with your date or something, you know, like that or a loved one, you know?
I don't think you know what it's really for.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something crazy. So one day I'm on tour, right?
Right.
I'll never forget this. I was on tour in Paris. And so I had my band, whatever. So
is this solo or Fugees?
This is Fugees.
Okay.
In the beginning of our career. So my drummer decided, now he's kind of like a big guy. He decided like, you know, you're going to get a groupie, whatever. So he took something. I don't know what it was. It wasn't Viagra, but it was something, I guess, to give him more energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had me sex with this girl. And all of a sudden, the girl kind of like just, I guess, her heart stops, whatever. She basically... I guess at that point, died or whatever, right?
Damn.
So he panics because he's in a foreign country,
yeah,
and he's having sex with this white woman, and she basically dies, right? So he calls me, and he used to stutter. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. This girl, I think she's dead, right? I said, what do you mean dead? Like, we was having sex, and she just died on my dick. I don't know. So I called the road manager.
Because that's like, what you do.
I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't want any part of this. So I call my road manager. Name was Hassan. I said, Hassan, I think Brian just killed this girl. He's like, what do you mean killed? I said, well, not literally, but I said he was having sex with her, and she died. I said, what? So we go upstairs. We're trying to wake this girl up. She's butt naked. She's not waking up. We don't feel any pulse, right? So we call the front desk. They call the paramedics, right? They come in. And this is
damn,
so funny.
This is gnarly.
They pull out this, what do you call that? Like that thing that has, like, it's like a bottle of water, and then you press something and it goes shh, like it's,
oh, like a fire extinguisher kind of thing.
But no, it's for water though. Like you press it and then water just come out of it. Like,
huh.
So whatever. Anyway, so they pull this like regular water thing and just kind of like they squished it all over her face, and then she just woke up. She just like woke up. It was a crazy.
That's
spooky,
some Pulp
man.
Fiction what? Stuff.
It
That's
was really
like
crazy. It was the first time I didn't know people like shit like that happened, and it was funny. The paramedics, like, the reason they knew this because I guess a lot of like
it's happened before.
Yeah, it happened like 4 or 5 times.
Oh my god!
Damn, crazy. You with must the same have girl.
No, not with the same girl.
Oh.
You must have some stories, dude.
Oh, no,
I cannot only imagine. And well.
Oh, anyway, to pick the one out of two. So I think I'm going to rock with this one.
Yeah, he picked
just
me,
for
Matt.
Now, just for now.
Just for now. Well, we'll move on to round two and we'll round go for two. It. So round two is our interview round, and we'll take turns asking questions.
Okay.
And I'll start off. Let's talk about Sweet Mickey, which I really genuinely loved.
Me too.
I really did.
Thank you.
And so basically what it is. Is Prize is behind a man named Sweet Mickey, who is a pop star or a singer.
Yes,
Michel Martelli, right?
Michel Martelli, a.k.a. Sweet Mickey in Haiti. Very provocative singer, but he was like the Michael Jackson of Haiti.
Yeah.
But he was a very provocative musician.
Yes.
So like he used to cross-dress.
Very out there, yeah.
Wear diapers on stage.
Yeah, who would you compare him to here in the U.S.?
I would compare him to, imagine if it was Howard Stern, but Howard Stern pre-marriage, like that new life he got now.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
Talent. He's tame now. I'm
right.
talking about before that, like 90s Howard Stern.
Right. Okay.
Imagine him, Howard Stern mixed with a little bit of Bobby Brown when he was on top of the world.
Wow.
So that's who this
Jesus.
Guy is.
Right. Right. And so then you get the was so it your idea?
Yeah, it was my idea. I tapped him. I said, you know, I think you should run for president because I knew
that's like a small thing.
I know, right, right.
I think you should
right.
run for president of Haiti.
Right. You know, so because I felt like the people in Haiti had such an affinity for him.
Yeah,
they loved him. He was so revered that I figured this is a guy who can possibly lead.
Right.
Because you know. Being popular doesn't mean you could win or people going to follow you. I mean, there's a lot of popular, you know, pop artists or celebrities right now that they popular and they on the cover of every gossip magazine. But
yeah.
It doesn't mean if they decided to want to lead, people going to follow. They
right.
might follow them to go buy certain clothes, you know, ball men or whatever. But they're not going to follow them if they have some serious issue that they want to discuss. So I figured Michelle, because he was prone to some political in his music, he has some political jabs he used to throw in his music.
Yeah, it sounded like that.
Very conscientious, so it felt like it was a natural thing. But I mean, in hindsight, it was a pretty stupid idea. You know, you know,
it could have gone a different way.
It went a whole different way. You know,
was he popular throughout Haiti or just through a certain like region? Or
no, the whole country.
So they knew him.
They knew him, and even parts of French-speaking countries outside of that too.
Yeah. Well, listeners, when you see this guy on these in the movie, I mean, he's like, you know, wearing a diaper on stage, and he's like, you know, doing like erotic dance and stuff. Like, it's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. You don't look at him and think president,
not at all.
But it shows you an amazing process, a corrupted process that you know there was rigged voting and stuff that you guys had to go through. But what really it goes into what really makes a politician and
right.
what makes a good politician.
Yeah.
And that was, and not to spoil it, but he gets elected.
Right.
And that's, how did you feel after that success? I mean,
Yeah, it's very suspenseful in the movie. Did you feel like he was going to win?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of those people, I be feeling things, man. And it's the weirdest thing. And I've learned to, it's almost, I feel like I'm a mutant. Like, I'm really in tune with the universe and my pulse on things. Like I have certain feelings about things. Like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Now, this has nothing to do with anything, but, like, for example, I'm a big football fan, right? So my team are the Patriots. So last year I went to the game with my financial manager in Miami. They were playing Miami, so they were playing away.
This is one Tom Brady's on, right?
This is Tom Brady, yeah. Tom Brady.
I don't know sports very well. Okay, right. That's one where they throw the ball.
You got to catch it. And
got it, yeah. Cool.
So anyway, make a long story short. So they lost the first game. And I said to my financial manager, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, man, fuck out of here. And then we got smashed against this other team 3 games later. And everyone was saying that maybe Brady should retire and whatnot. Make a long story short, he won the Super Bowl. Now, some people just say things because they wish it for it to happen.
Right.
When I say certain things, it's because I believe it's manifested, like it's been written. So with Michelle, I really, since even when he got kicked out of the first round,
right,
I still believe, and coincidentally, so that when they went back and reversed it, it's the first time in history they ever done anything like that.
Wow.
So when I believe in something, and that's why going back to these challenges and everything, I believe that we, as an individual, we can manifest our destiny.
Right.
If you put something you believe in out in the universe, I believe it's going to help to conspire for you.
Yeah.
That's my belief. Now, it could be some old bullshit, I don't know, but that's what I believe in.
Did you feel that when you said to Michelle Martelly that he should be president, did you feel that?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. When I looked in his eyes, I was like, listen, you're going to be the next president of Haiti. I had no idea what the fuck I was saying when I said it. It's almost like my brain is thinking something else. It's just like someone is speaking for me. You know,
And I know at the end it said that you weren't offered a position and you had no interest in getting a position in politics. Has that changed? Are you interested in Haiti or here or anything?
Not at all. Let me tell you something. A couple of my friends can attest to this. 2006. So I'm cool with the current president of the U.S. right now, right? So I remember when I first met him, we had a mutual friend who introduced us, and there was something about him that I knew nothing about him prior to that. There was something about him that just resonated with me. And she was a big fan of his. She's like, you know, if he's ever going to be a black president, he'll be the first one, whatever. And then I found out that he was going to make an announcement like a year and a half before he did it. And I went to a friend of mine when he made the announcement in Chicago in 07. Never forget this. It's like around February 07 he made the announcement. No one heard of him. I said to a couple of friends of mine, this guy's going to be the next president of the United States of America. Mm. My friends was like, get the fuck out of here.
Man, well.
Yo, people thought I was crazy.
That's hysterical.
Are you crazy, you think?
No, it's just, I don't know, I just believe in things, man.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's just put it out there.
Do you have you're friendly with Mr. Obama, right?
Yes, sir.
You have a great story you could tell us of anything about hanging with Obama of any sort? Like, what's he like?
Yeah, what's he like, man? Is he like...
He seems like...
He is, first of all, he's the funniest guy.
Really?
Yeah, man. This guy just have you laugh all day. It's like he's a natural comedian. He's just a cool guy. He's a guy who, my take on it, you know, just times that I've known and been around him the last couple of years, he's a guy who is just extremely brilliant, but at the same time, very pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has a perspective on things that's just, and it's borderline genius. It's just so, but he just drew around this guy. He just, see, like let me give you an example. So Bill Clinton is a different type of politician.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton is the guy, if there's 5,000 people in the room, he walks in the room, he's going to shake every single hand, and he's going to make everyone in there feel like they're the only person in that whole room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves that.
He's that people person.
That guy.
Right.
Right. Well, President Obama is a little bit different. He's a he's definitely a people person, but he's more about like that. He's more about that one-on-one connection. And then if you there, man, this dude. Because I seen him. I was with him. Went to at the Oval Office a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and so we was just hanging out for about 20-30 minutes, and I mean the whole time we was just laughing, talking shit. Like, it was just so funny. Like, he's just a funny guy.
Can he use curse words, or is he not allowed to use curse words? Do you know?
Is it not in the Constitution?
I don't know. I just wonder what the president can even talk about.
No comment.
And last on this, do you have that moment that you're like, holy shit, I'm sitting here in the Oval Office with the president? Yeah. Do you still have that, or is
it? Yeah, it's a weird moment because he still. I remember so when we went, so this is funny. So you ever been to the White House?
No.
Okay, so.
Well, when I was a kid, like, I toured the outside of it with my school.
Okay. Yeah.
So obviously there's the East Wing and there's the West Wing, right? So the East Wing is where kind of like everyone is pretty much at in the FLOTUS. We call it FLOTUS, First Lady of the United States.
Yeah.
And POTUS, the president, is on the West Wing. So it's not that many things going on in the West Wing, obviously, because he's POTUS. So you got to go up to this gate, right? And so there's the security. I don't even have to tell you how tight security is, right? It goes without saying.
Right,
right.
Obviously.
So I pull up. So my friend and I, we pull up to the window, right? And there's this. So it's like this officer. Believe me, like, if shit was to pop off, trust me, man, it would take seconds.
Right.
It's one of those high alert. So he's just not even paying attention to me. I walk up to the To I guess the window.
Yeah.
So yeah, who you here for? I said, here to see POTUS. Who? I said, POTUS. I said, because it's kind of weird to say I'm here to see President Obama, yeah. Right?
I said, it sounds almost make believe.
Yeah, it sounds like. Yeah. So mind you, his head is down, looking at whatever he's looking at. So I said, President Obama. He looked at me, almost kind of like. Now, obviously, look. Obviously, I'm not making it up, right?
Right.
It's not like someone just show up, but it was like he had to.
He did a double take.
Yeah, kind of like, because he didn't know who I was, right? Obviously, right. So he's probably. I know he was probably thinking to himself, "Who the fuck is you?"
Wow,
it
man.
It was weird, like going through the different people. Say, "Yeah, we're here to see President Obama." Yeah, I'm here, and it's just that look, like. I'm not like some
right.
elected official. I'm not, right. you know, some. I'm not George Clooney or whatever. Yeah. It's just like this dude is walking in really comfortable and just saying his name a little too comfortable.
Okay, so now I know what I'm gonna drop when I go. I'm here to see POTUS.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna work with me.
We're friends of prize. That's what we're gonna say.
POTUS. So going back to the documentary.
Right.
One of the most interesting curveballs in it is that Wyclef throws himself in for the race and right. goes against it. Now, what did that do to your relationship? And I see that it kind of it mends a little towards the end. And where does it? What is the state of the relationship now?
Well, in the beginning, obviously, you know, Clef felt like. I remember he went to Michelle. They had a secret meeting. Obviously, I knew about it, but. This is before Clef knew I was the one. He didn't know I was the one.
Behind.
Pioneering?
The architect.
Right.
Okay.
So
he felt betrayed.
No, well, he said to Michelle, he said, listen, let me tell you something, man. You shouldn't even try to go against me. I'm going to crush you. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to have a little bit of mercy on you. The person I'm really going to crush is the dummy who convinced you that you should run because I know you didn't come up with this on your own.
Well,
and then when Clef found out I was behind it, obviously it was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna crush you guys. And to show you, so the way it works is you have to go register,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's when you basically go and make that announcement,
mm-hmm.
and so that costs money to do. So when Clef went to register, and we all had to go register the same day, in his treasure chest, he had $20 million just to go register. It doesn't cost $20 million to register.
Right.
Probably don't even cost $1,000 to register, right? So we had about maybe $67,000 compared to his $20 million. And by the way, those $67,000 were IOU. Like,
yeah.
Michelle's mom was like, well, baby, if you get through, I'll give you $2,000. His brother was like, look, man, if you get through, I may give you $500.
Wow. Yeah. So he can't.
It was a little bit contested, and then obviously as we got deeper into the campaign, when Clef obviously he was disqualified because he wasn't a resident.
Right. Was that shocking to you?
It's Haiti, man. It's like nothing really shocks you, man.
Well,
you
yeah,
know? It seems and I think one of the reasons why they did it at that time, see, no one really believed Michelle Martelly had a shot in hell. Kind of like how no one believes Donald Trump has a shot in hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they figure we can't keep both of them in, because in their mind, if we keep both of them, they're gonna absorb all the energy from all the other supposedly political contestants.
Mm.
So, or candidates. So what they did, they said we're gonna get rid of the one that posed the most threat, and that was Wyclef in their mind with the resources, the international
$20 million.
Right. Yeah,
so they got rid of Wyclef, which was a miscalculation on their part.
Wow.
But they got rid of Wyclef. So then I think once Wyclef felt like Michelle seemed like the one that was going to, I guess, to unify everyone, we got back together. As far as our relationship today, it's cool. You know what I mean? I haven't spoken to him like, I don't even know how long. It's been over a year. But we cool. You know, if I see him, we're going to have mutual respect for one another. But, you know, we don't hang out. We'll have beers together.
Does it feel like a total different universe in your life and a different time that all occurred, that the Whole Foods thing, like it's so...
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, obviously, as you get older and you get into different things, kind of feels like a different universe. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a universe that I'm sure each one of them, including myself, you know, every once in a while you think about those moments, you know.
Oh, yeah.
About, man, I remember. And what would have happened if we really just stuck it through, you know.
Right.
Maybe one more album or something, you know. Definitely coming. But, you know, like they say, life goes on.
And the last on this was, people, I'm sure, always ask you if there's going to be a reunion or anything like that. Is anything like that in the works or a possibility even? Or
yeah, what do you say? You're a seer. You're like kind of like a, yeah. What does your heart tell you?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about it. In 3 more years... And this is gonna make me sound real old, but in 3 more years, we're gonna be eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
In 3 years?
Yeah. Wow.
Next year makes it the 20-year anniversary of the score.
Dang, really?
And then 2 years after that, we're gonna be eligible for Hall of Fame.
I could see you guys making it, and that would probably be would you be down to reunite for that?
We'll see, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Because I know that those induction ceremonies, a lot of times they got Simon and Garfunkel back together and things like that.
But if you notice, one of my favorite rock bands, the lead singer didn't show up.
Who, Nelly and the St. Lunatics?
Oh,
they got inducted in rock and roll?
No, did they? I don't know.
Guns N' Roses?
Funny. Was it Guns? You had me with that one, right?
Was it Guns N' Roses?
Yes. Yeah. Axl Rose didn't
show
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that. Going back also real quick, you said... compared Sweet Mickey to like people thinking he didn't have a chance, like Donald Trump doesn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. And we saw the outcome with Sweet Mickey. Do you think that Donald Trump is a feasible outcome here in the United States?
I'll say this to you. I know a lot of people have issues with him, especially for his rhetorics. And he's a little bit abrasive. And but I don't think the country is that far in the deep end, where I think when the general population goes to vote, they'll vote for that.
Right.
But I wouldn't discount it 100%. Because you don't know how disenfranchised. Because I'm going to say this to you. So, and I know a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, right?
Mm.
But I can't seem to find anyone who not only not support him, but anyone that knows anyone who supports Donald Trump. But the dude is 42% of all likely voter Republican. That's almost
somebody,
half.
Yeah.
And listen, because of the tax bracket that I'm in, so obviously I know a lot of conservatives, right? Mm-hmm. They telling me they don't support him. So I'm like, wait, who's supporting him?
So you think there's a lot of closet
supporters? You know what it is? It's like, remember when back in the day, it was this band or this artist that was so popular, but everybody hated that artist. But you're like, well, the motherfucker is platinum plus. Yeah. Who's buying the album?
Yeah.
Somebody likes him, you know. But he's one of those secret, like, you, no don't wanna, you don't want to say anything.
Like Pitbull. Kind of,
no, Pitbull's great.
No, I wouldn't say that. But I'm talking about like a Milli Vanilli, how
right.
No one liked Milli Vanilli, right?
Right. Yeah. But yet somehow.
But yet they sold 5 million records.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, who's buying it?
Like everybody's saying they don't like them and then right, going in the house
right,
and listening.
Right. Yeah. One of those, you know?
Wow, man.
It's, and I don't think our country is that far off like that.
To the extreme, yeah.
To the extreme, but we have to pay attention to that, though,
yeah,
in my right. opinion.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
And I know, like people like to say, "Well, they're not the majority. Let's forget about them." That can become the majority. Maybe not now, but maybe in the next election cycle.
Right. Why don't you want to get involved in politics? You seem to know a lot about it and have a passion for it, and it obviously in Haiti it worked.
Yeah, especially that experience through Haiti.
Let me tell you my reason why I can't get into politics. First of all, I'm a very progressive guy. Mm-hmm. And progression doesn't work for democracy. And so that's why, to me, it's frustrating. That's why I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to stand on the sideline and just kind of like be a cheerleader.
Is it hard sometimes to just be a cheerleader and not?
You know why it's hard? Because, like, I go to third world country. Like, I was just in Iraq this year. Like, I saw ISIS, basically. I was at the front line.
Okay? Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, a soldier died while I was there. They had to rush us out of there.
Wow.
So I was in Iraq. I've been to Azerbaijan. I was in North Korea last year. Like, I go to these places. And the reason I go, because it makes me really feel like how great and fortunate I am to say I'm an American. Despite the fact that I complain, we all complain about things. Our complaints are what I call luxury complaints, mm-hmm. right? They're the first world problems,
right?
But with that being said, you know, when I look at these places that we go to, I say to myself, wow, you know, it's sad, because I could have been one of those people, the unfortunate ones,
right?
I know I'm fortunate.
Yeah,
I know my lifestyle is beautiful. I'm in Beverly Hills. I live in New York, Soho. I drive a Rolls Royce or whatever. But I think about the people and I'm saying, why is it that they don't care about the massive? Hmm. The massive are suffering. It's not just in third world countries. It's right here in America, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
People working 10, 12 hours just to try to make ends meet. Yeah. One of the richest economy in the world. That shouldn't be the issue.
Right.
But because you got corporations, like, for example, how you hear these, like, these big franchise restaurants, when they get excess amount of food, they just burn it versus just giving it to people who right. need it. You know, it's, when you hear those type of things, it makes you say to yourself, wow, this is a cruel world we living in.
Yeah.
You know, without trying to sound kind of like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's just that gets to me. Now I could be like, you know, listen, I'm good, you know, yeah. whatever. But I can't. I can't do that.
Right.
So that's why when I made this movie, I made it for the people. I made it so it's not just about Haitians. It's about this movie is about when democracy speaks louder than anything. When people sit here and say enough is enough.
Right.
I'm saying.
Do you think that you could win an Oscar? Has that hopped in your mind at all? Like, what do you think that experience would... You think about that at all?
You've thought about it.
You thought about it.
I can tell
you. I think about it every day.
Listen, it's a magical film.
Listen, you think about a lot of things. You know what I'm saying to you? You know, I believe it's a possibility, you know.
Good.
You have your tux ready?
I'm waiting for Tom Ford to go out.
Do you feel like that you need something like that to separate you from your music? Because it seems like you've kind of put music on hold to take on some of these other adventures, and you're succeeding in those things. I mean, do you feel like that you need an accomplishment or a tangible thing like that?
I would feel I would feel that I bet you a lot of people underestimate you.
I would say this to you. I like this question.
He's going to win the round.
No, but it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be perfectly honest with you, I think that you as a director, you know, I don't know if you're an actor, but you comedian. Know, comedian, which you probably would like to do TV or movies, whatever. You know, as artists, we all want to do something that can resonate with people, and we want the accolades that come along with it. That's natural. If anyone tell you no, then they lying, or else it's like, why are you even doing it, right?
Right, right.
But to be perfectly honest with you, if there's a possibility for me to win an Oscar, it would have to be first and foremost, I know the impact it can have
right.
for these Haitians.
Yeah.
It could literally, what these leaders could not do in 211 years, this right here could change the country overnight. And yeah. I'm going to tell you why. All the Haitians that's been coming to see this movie so far, and we're going to premiere it in Haiti, but so far,
wow,
they all said one thing. This is the first time we've seen something on this medium that represent us in a positive light. They feel so proud that it's all about their resilience, their culture, their history. And so it makes them like, they're like, wow, man, on this commercial level, we hearing Sweet Mickey, Haiti. It's not about, oh, they just had an earthquake, right. or they had a hurricane,
yeah.
or a coup d'etat, or some disease, or some, it's just about a film. And people are loving it. People feeling inspired because of us. So when you look at a country of 15 million people, to see themselves yeah. in that light,
yeah.
it would inspire them to say, wow, I can do something great.
Yeah,
right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have my vote for People's Choice Award, baby. I can't really vote for the Oscar, but you'll get a People's Choice. Well, we should, let's wrap up this round.
Okay,
I have one sorry. Social media question that...
Do I say who won the round?
I have one question,
okay. You can answer this or not,
right.
but this is back in the Fugees days, mm-hmm. and Clef has spoken and written about that he had a relationship with Lauren.
Right.
Did you know about it?
Yeah, I knew it from the first moment it happened.
And what was your feelings? Did you see that as a demise, as a problem immediately?
I said to him, you fucking up. Because when you mix business with pleasure, and listen, by the way, I'm that famous doctor who prescribing this medicine and don't take my own medicine. So, so this is, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but when you have to sustain that, you have to make a conscious decision like, okay.
Right.
Because when you're dealing with artists, you know, we're very emotional. You know, that's who we are. That's why we're artists. We go based on how we feel. That's how we create art. Like when you come up with your skit or you're writing, it's something that comes to you that you feel, and then you test it and it feels good to you, and then you put it out. And when people respond, that's what gives you your intuition, like, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
Right.
Right. Now, someone comes in and makes that in, and it's great. You're creating. It's even better. Like, it amplifies because you're in love. It amplifies your comedy. Right. You become
heightened, yeah.
And then the person does something. It doesn't go the way you wanted to go. Some people can handle it. Like, fuck, I'm going to keep it moving. Some people can't.
Right.
And unfortunately, she wasn't able to handle it.
And do you think that was the beginning of the end?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Were you jealous ever? Because I feel like I'd be jealous if, like, I'm with another dude and chick and they're making out and I'm just sitting there singing.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't jealous. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Part of that was part of the magic. Yeah.
Right.
Let's keep it over.
Look
at Fleetwood Mac. I mean, you hear the stories all day, man.
Yeah,
ABBA, completely. You know what I mean? This is nothing new, man.
Nice.
I mean,
a little ABBA reference.
Even Einstein.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that was my last
question.
So
it's part of that perfect recipe.
Yes, it's your turn now to pick a winner of that round.
I'm going to have to go with him.
Yep. What?
Right. No, but you know what? He asked a very, you know, that Oscar question was an important question. You know why?
I led to it, though. So I was beating around the bush. In sports terms, I assisted.
I call that beating around the bush, man.
that's another thing I don't know much about. So it is tied. So we'll go to our debate round, which is real quick.
Okay.
Let's talk about stars getting into politics then.
Okay.
Are you for or against?
I am against stars getting into politics.
Go for it.
Okay. Mm. I think
1 minute on the clock, please.
I think because it just seems that just because you reach a level of fame that they are then qualified to be a politician seems kind of obtuse to me. Like Praz was talking about earlier, you know, not everyone, just because they're in a heightened position, has the ability to do everything. And I find that, like, I mean, you've had, like, Jesse Ventura, for example. You know, he's a professional wrestler, and sure, he can get the votes, but could you, like, it didn't work out very well for Minnesota. Like, if you look at, like, Kanye saying he's going to run for office, like, I'm not saying he might not be a good politician, but does it seem like he would? No. But do you get a little bit scared that he might be able to get the votes just because he has enough followers on Instagram? Yes, it's a little bit alarming. So, I just, but then also.
So you see it as a stunt. You don't like the stunt aspect of it.
I see it as a stunt. I see it as a stunt. I'm not a fan.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm all for it because Praz is here and you got Sweet Mickey. I like it. Obviously, that worked. No, that's just kissing up. No, I'm for it. I'm going to point to a couple examples that I think worked. I think Ronald Reagan is an example of an actor turned politician. Mm-hmm. Might not have been the best, but he certainly evolved into the world of politics and learned about it. I think it's for whoever the best person for the job is. And if you were to ask me if I would vote for Sean Penn as opposed to someone else, you know, Donald Trump, I'd pick Sean Penn in a second, even though he's, you know, a celebrity. Because I don't have a problem with that. And I believe that when you are a celebrity, too, you have an ability to reach, if you use it for right, not necessarily as a stunt, you have ability to do more than other politicians can, period, because you have a wider reach and because people will listen to you because it's already kind of built in. And that might be what is needed to get things done. If Oprah ran for president, I'd vote for her right away.
You know, I agree with both of you guys. I think that, you know, I don't have a problem because, like you said, there's been examples that worked and examples that didn't work. Like Ronald Reagan, depending on who you speak to, one thing I can say that he did that I thought was incredible is he's the only president that actually destroyed an economy without even going to war with them.
Right.
And that was Russia, the Cold War.
Right.
Never lift one bullet against them, right? So that's incredible how he did that.
Right.
And then obviously being an actor, but see, the thing about Ronald Reagan that people don't forget is that he paid his dues leading up to becoming a president.
Right.
You know, he was a senator, and then he went to become a governor.
Right.
And then so
it wasn't out of the blue, right? Like Schwarzenegger style.
He did everything. Cut to, we in an Instagram social media world right now, where it's all about, you know, how you brand yourself. I.e. Donald Trump, right? So I don't believe that being a celebrity should hinder you. I think it's if you really have a real plan and you really understand the process of diplomacy, mm-hmm. and understanding bilateralism, understanding on how what the issues are, then yes, it doesn't matter who you are. Now, as far as like Kanye saying he's running for president, I'm not quite sure what that is. You know, I don't know if it's real, if it was something he said because he was emotional. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. But the fact that we're even talking about that,
right,
says everything you need to know about what's going on in our system. Because let me say this to you. If this was, what year is this, 2015?
Yeah.
If this was 1995 and Paulie Shore said that he's going to run for president, it would have got as far as after he said that. It would have been done. Nobody would be talking about it. Because no one's going to take that serious, you know. I'm not saying not to take Kanye serious, but I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, do you think he'd make a good candidate?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you, if someone is perceived one way because what they did is their livelihood, and now they want to come and serve, you don't know what they have underneath that hood.
That's true.
You see 100%. What I'm
saying? I mean, yeah, you're a perfect example of that. Do you feel that?
Not just that, but think about Eisenhower, right? He was president.
Yeah.
He never held any political office before.
Right.
He's considered a damn good president.
Yeah. Right? You never know.
Right. So you don't know. I think that individual has to have the will to want to serve the people and do good. You got to have that.
Right.
All right. Purely for fun, if you could back one celebrity for president, so to speak, who would you back?
George Clooney.
George Clooney. Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he's...
Because that's who I think really understand politics. And obviously, he's been kind of like... I'm doing it on a very micro level, but the guy who's really conscientious about what's going on politically, who obviously, you know, done with politicians, been to the G8,
right,
to the summits and all that. That's a guy who, if he was, I think he'd make a good president.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Honestly,
I'm being, because, I mean, think about it. When we had the SAG,
the strike?
The strike, yeah. Right? He was one of the person they called to try to mediate the negotiation. Him and Spielberg.
Everybody thinks he's
you
got to
call Spielberg because he's right. God, right? Okay, so that goes without saying. But you go call that guy George Clooney. That tells you, man. That's a guy who that means that he can reach out to both sides.
Yeah,
and he has enough diplomacy within him that people think that he can be unbiased.
Wow.
Right. Yeah,
that's a lot to be said about that much.
All right, how about you?
Agreed. That's a great question, man. I think if I had to pick anyone to be president, who is a celebrity?
Yeah, celebrity.
I think I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Sean Penn.
It's a good answer. I mean, no.
That's his answer.
I mean, well, he's in your documentary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great.
He's in the documentary.
Cool.
He's great.
It was interesting.
Okay, good answer. I'd go with Bette Midler.
Who?
Bette Midler.
The singer?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That's just purely so I could sing When Beneath My Wings at the inauguration.
What's next for Promise, man? I mean, you're doing so... You've done...
This is out limited in some theaters
now. Yeah, and then we're going wide in January.
Right.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
Go to www.sweetmickeyforpresident.com. I'd say vote for him, but he's already made it. So just come check out the film because we smell an Oscar, or maybe that's just the...
I like this guy, yeah.
Oh, and you have to pick a winner of the entire podcast, by the way.
Right. I like this guy. But I'm working on this narrative.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What celebrity do you get mistaken for a lot?
No one.
Are you serious? No one?
One time I got mistaken for Brad Pitt, but that's because the person. No, but no, listen, that's because the person wasn't from this country. You know, I don't know why. I think she was from Cambodia or something. You know,
is that a true story?
No, seriously. She's like Brad Pitt. I said, "Fuck, you mistaken me for Brad Pitt."
Wow. All right. Well, end it with us, and you got to pick a winner of the entire podcast for today. It was tied 1-1 after the first round.
You know what? I'm going to be honest because I like to be transparent.
Yes, please.
I like your vibe a lot, but my decision is a little bit loaded because there's some kind of like vibe going on.
Is this a school. Road rules, real world thing? That's
Dude,
ridiculous.
Bro, it's Hollywood.
I'm going with my man Theo.
It's Hollywood.
Wow.
Bro. It's Hollywood, bro.
Congratulations.
But you know what, though? Let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
You are going to do a film, man. It's going to take your career somewhere else. I feel that, for real.
Excellent. I've been telling him that every day. Every day of his life, I tell him that.
You might have the next Birdman. Birdland is the song.
Or you might have the next Birdland.
Could be owning a pet store on Sepulveda. All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Stay tuned next week.